This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Counting the Cost, was delivered on March 21st, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
I'm on your way out. Oh, good morning, New Hope. Are you guys soggy? Is there webs growing between your feet? Yeah. Your catchment's all overflowing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like everything is. How many of you getting moldy? Yeah?
Oldie and moldy.
Oldie and moldy, yeah. All right, so, you know, last week we talked about no turning back and what will it cost you to make the change. How many of you actually filled in the blanks of what you gotta let go so that one, two, three, James, you let it go, but you went to J. Howard's sale this morning. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I mean, if you didn't fill out the thing that you need to let go so that, you know, you can step into a new day, do that. I think, you know, one of the things is the counting the cost today and what will it cost me to follow Jesus. And I think the greater question is, what will it cost me not to make the adjustments? Yeah. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus puts out this statement in Mark 8:36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Whatever you have on earth is temporary, cannot be exchanged for your soul. If you work hard at getting what you want, you might eventually have a pleasurable life, but in the end, you might find it hollow and empty. You know, are you willing to make the pursuit of God more important than selfish pursuits? You know, today we're going to look at the cost to follow Jesus or not to follow Jesus. And it's up to you to make the decision. And like last week, while I was writing this message, this song has popped into my head. And one of my gifts is not singing. Right? So I dropped this bomb on the worship team this morning. Can you help me sing this song? And Pastor Aaron said, oh, we get him. You know, the attitude. You know, because he could say, oh, that's just like kind of hard. We never practice. You know, we don't want the music. We don't want the chords. But he said, oh, we get them. So the words up here are the correct ones. So would you help us in singing this song? I want this song to echo in your mind all afternoon. I want you to be singing it in the car and to your spouse. Like, I'm tired of hearing that song. And it echoed to your mind all week. So. And I'll leave my mic on, and I'll sing very softly.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though I may wander, still I will follow. Though I may wander, still I will follow. Though I may wander, still I will follow. No turning back. Turning back, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Go with. right now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back.
Don't we have like the best worship team? I love that country style. You know I like country. I got the Nashville buckle and I got the boots. Just never got the hat. Following Jesus has a cost. And I would be lying to you if I told you it didn't. I'd be lying to you saying it's all smooth and a bed of roses. That would be deception. You may say, what if I don't want to pay the price? Then I would say, take a look at the consequence. In Luke 16, 25 to 27, Jesus is speaking here. But Abraham said, child, remember during your life you received good things. Likewise, Lazarus, bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so those who wish to come over from here and to you will not be able, that none may cross over from here to us. Okay, so here's the situation. There's a rich man, and there's a poor man. The rich man dies. He goes to Hades. He is suffering in torment. And Lazarus dies and he is in heaven. And so now the rich man is saying, you know, I need help. He wants just a drop of water on his tongue. And he says, I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. So now he's saying, go send somebody to my father's house to let them know how bad it is down here. So, you see, the whole thing is the Pharisees considered wealth to be a proof of a person's righteousness. And Jesus startled them with this story, which a diseased beggar is rewarded and a rich man is punished. Now, the rich man did not go to hell because of his wealth, but because he was selfish and refusing to have compassion to feed Lazarus, take him in, or care for him. The rich man was hard-hearted in spite of his many blessings. See, the amount of money we have is not as important as the way we use it. What is your attitude towards the money and possessions? Do you hoard them selfishly, or do you use them to help others? In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. You know, we stop there. Well, how do I know what is God's will? Read his word and you'll find out. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, I do not want to scare you. That is not the purpose of this message. But I want you to fully realize that Christianity, being a Christian, is not a game to be played. It is a serious matter of life and death, full rewards, partial rewards. Life, death, the blessing and the curse, it says in the Old Testament. It's set before us, and God wants us to choose life. You know, Jesus is more concerned about our walk than our talk. He wants us to do right, not just say the right words. What you do cannot be separated from what you believe. If any one of us is on the fence and not fully committed to Christ, then I hope this morning you make the choice to go all in for Christ. So here's a question that I want to ask you this morning. Number one, what will it cost me to fully follow Christ? And again, like last week, I cannot answer this question for you. Don't know where you're at. Don't know what you got. You need to honestly answer this question for yourself. In Luke 9:23, he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, when this was written, the cross wasn't some, you know, like how we put the cross on our necks, we hang the cross in our cars. It wasn't like a form of jewelry or anything. The cross was a thing that represented capital punishment. And so today you might think, what would be our modern day cross? Well, might be an electric chair or a lethal injection. How you like hanging a syringe around your neck to, you know, or electric chair, you know? So I believe when Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me, it's like, okay, that's a sign of death. And when he says, you know, take it up and follow me, I think that means it's a sign that's saying, I'm willing to give up my life as I know it to follow Jesus. Now, when you were crucified back then, in that era, the Romans were in power, and they that's what they did. They crucified people, and they made you carry your own cross, the one that they were going to nail you to and die on it. It's like, wow. It's like carrying your own electric chair so that they can shock you and put you to death, or carrying your own lethal syringe all the way to a certain point just so that they can inject it in you. I think I'd rather carry the syringe. It's much lighter. But you imagine carrying that cross. Just, I would say, you know what? Just nail me to it right here. I'm not going to carry it all the way there, out of breath, half dead, and then you can nail me to it. When Jesus says this, what is he trying to tell us? With this word picture, Christ presented us a clear and challenging description of the Christian life. Being a disciple means I got to put aside my selfish desires. Shouldering one's cross daily, every day, and following him is kind of simple yet demanding. You know, I gotta get my selfish desires. How many of you are selfish? Yeah, me too. So Sunday mornings come, and how many of you just wanna sleep? Yeah. How many of you just wanna go fishing because the sun's out? Yeah. Come Sunday morning, I wanna sleep. But what would Jesus want? He would want me here to preach the word. Imagine if I didn't show up Sunday. It's like, Pastor Aaron goes, where's Scott? Who's going to give the message? James or Walt. Yeah. Thank God I never did that. I think the only time I do that is if something happened to me on the way to church. You know, and for us, you know, for us, it's not that bad. Like, I don't think it's that bad for us compared to the disciples. For the original 12, for them, this really meant suffering. And this really meant death. Like I said, the only one of those who actually died of old age was John. And that's only because he survived boiling oil poured on him. Oh my, could you imagine? And these, most, the rest of them died for proclaiming to follow Jesus Christ. So for us, you know, I don't think we're going to have to suffer like beheading and all that. But we might suffer in other ways. Consider this. Do you think of your relationship with God primarily in terms of what's in it for me? Or in terms, what can I do for him? So is your relationship for God is like, I'm in it because I want the blessings. Or I'm in it because I want to serve him. I want to be a slave to Christ. Are you willing to deny yourself? Take up your cross every morning when you get up and follow him. That means when your alarm rings at 4:30 because I wanted to meet with you at 5 for devotion. It's like, oh, no. No. It's too early. Pastor Scott, he is a sick guy. It's like he gets up before the roosters. See, my assignment here on earth is to get as many as I can to get through what is called the narrow gate. As many as I can. In Matthew 19:29, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much, and he will inherit eternal life. And I like to joke about this a lot. I gave up my job at HPM for God. So does that mean I'm going to have many jobs? Oh, no. Imagine that. I gave up my job. I loved my job. And I quit my job. So that's that. I gave it up. All for the church to come. So I was like, oh. Mike just laughed when I told him that. He's going to probably get 100 jobs now. Luke 14:28. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? See, we got to understand that following Christ, you're going to get trials. Why? Because you're on this side of the salvation and the devil hates it. That's why we get attacked. Because we're on the right side and the devil doesn't want us on the right side. So he attacks us to try to drag us back, to forget the church, forget him, forget to read, forget to follow, obey. You know, and he may even bless us. You know, we may say, oh, I'm going to start being a commercial fisherman because, man, God is blessing me with so much fish. And, you know, Satan can give you stuff. If you remember when Jesus was in the wilderness, he said, I'll give you all of this if you bow down to me. So he can fill up your cooler and fill up your bank just to keep you on that side. Be aware of that. You know, I didn't know when I started following Christ that I was going to quit my job. That was kind of spooky too, by the way, because when I went to work for the church, they said my job wasn't guaranteed. Maybe for 5 years until the senior pastor retired, then I was to resign. So to try and explain that to your wife, honey, I'm quitting my stable job to go work temporary for 5 years. see ya. But no, I had my wife's full support because, yeah, I told her, it's your fault. You prayed for me. You prayed for me. For 8 years, you prayed for me. Save my husband because he is rotten. And she prayed and she prayed. She wasn't specific in make my husband an usher. That is good. She just prayed, get him saved. And he got me saved and he got me going. And I thank the Lord for my wife because, man, if it wasn't for her prayers, I'd probably be in jail. And not the prison ministry jail. I'd be in jail. So we got to count the cost. We got to understand that following Christ is not a trouble-free life. We must carefully count the cost of being a disciple so that when the trials come, we will hold on to our faith and we won't be tempted to turn back. You know, nowadays when you go to the doctor, you know, they ask me this question, are you depressed? Are you feeling anxiety? Are you troubled? It's like, is that a trick question? Because if I'm a pastor and I say that, then really you say, okay, you're not trusting God then. If you're all stressed out and you're anxiety out and you're all panicky and you're all worried, they always ask me that question. It's like, no, I'm fine. I'm good. No matter if it's not good, I'm good because I know God is in control. When I started following Christ, I didn't know I was going to quit my job. I didn't know that I was going to be getting up almost every single day at 4:30 in the morning. I didn't know I was going to have the responsibility of leading a church and have the responsibility of trying to care for and equip a whole bunch of souls. I didn't know I wasn't able to just pick up whenever I wanted to and go fishing, whenever I wanted to, wherever I wanted to. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay that I cannot pick up and go fishing whenever and wherever I want. I love what I do. I really do. And if you cannot see the passion I have about my job, let me know. Because if I come across as being like lack of energy, it's like, oh, you know, I love my job. I really, really, really love my job. Then let me know, because then it's time to equip the next generation to come up here and lead you. And this is the best, hardest job I ever had. And it brings so much fulfillment. I love to make sacrifices. You know, when people call you and you gotta go to the hospital because one of you called me and said, hey, my brother, my sister, my spouse, my child is in a hospital. Can you go and pray for them? You bet I will jump at every opportunity to do that, to go and share Jesus with your loved ones. I kind of get a kick out of it. It's like when my phone rings in the middle of the night, I am out of bed. My heart is racing. It's like being on drugs again without the drugs. You know what I mean? It's like you all like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And it's like being on drugs without taking the drugs. Because I am so excited to go and pray. The sad thing is about it, my phone doesn't ring that often. You know what I think? I think you guys say, oh, I cannot bother him. But you know the reason for my job is to serve all of you, right? You know that's my job, right? Yes. So when you guys call me at 8:30, because I sleep at 8 o'clock, that's okay. That's okay. I will do my very best to answer the phone. You know, I love what I do. It's the hardest, best job I ever had. And yes, there are some times where it's like, I plan a fishing trip and I'm all ready to go, and somebody calls me at the last minute, hey, can you do this blessing on this day? And I said, yeah, I can. And I'm a little bit, well, I guess I cannot go fishing. But you know what? That's okay. That's okay, because the fish wasn't biting anyway. Yeah. And there are times when the guys know that I'm doing stuff, and they go fishing, but they don't tell me because they don't want me to feel bad. And they catch a whole bunch of fish. You know why? Because I wasn't there. Just kidding. They're gonna nail me for that later on. Yeah. So, number two, what will it cost me not to follow Christ? Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. I mean, you look at how few people are here versus how many people are out there. The gate that leads to eternal life is called narrow. This does not mean it is difficult to become a Christian, but rather there is only one way to eternal life with God. And only few decide to walk that road. And they may walk through that road because they don't know any better. Because we haven't told them. We haven't shared that. They haven't seen Jesus change our lives. And if they haven't seen Jesus change and transform our lives, do you think that they want Jesus? If we tell them we go to church every Sunday, but they still hear us cussing and screaming and throwing tantrums and cursing God and other things. You know? Believing in Jesus is the only way to heaven because He alone died for our sins and made us right before God. You know, to live the way God wants us to live may not be easy, may not be popular, but it is the true and the right and the best way to live. Like I said, Mark 8:36, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Some of us may think, man, getting up early, coming to church on Sunday, doing Bible study during the week, giving 10% of my income. Man, that's a really, really steep price to pay. And, you know, yeah, it can be. And when I first started to come to church and I gave my 10%, I was like, wow, I could do a lot with this. But you know what? God could probably do a whole lot more. When I think about the cost to follow Jesus and how high it is according to worldly standards, because Jesus either wants us to leave or give up everything and follow Him. Now, this doesn't mean that we give up everything. This is, I think, what it means. It means everything that I have, my car, my house, my fishing pole, and yes, my tools. It says, God, here you go. This is yours. And then what does he do? He takes all this and he says, here you go, Scott. I want you to steward everything I have given you for me. You take care of this. This belongs to me, but I'm letting you take care of it. So we give everything to Him. And in turn, He tells, okay, I give it back to you, but you take care of it. And I think I've done such a good job. That's why I was faithful with the little. That's why I have so much tools. Yeah, and it's like, I have almost tools for all kinds of things. And sometimes, tools, they just want to come and move in with me. I'll do something for somebody, and they'll give me a tool. It's like, oh, wow, thank you. You have a good home with me. I will put you to use. And when people need stuff, I say, here you go, because it's not mine. And so it's not yours then, thank you. It doesn't come back sometimes, but it's okay, because they never steal from me. So if you have some of my tools, remember my ladder? Remember, I lost my ladder, you know, for a very long time. I even bought a new one. And then Sonny calls me up, hey, you want your ladder back? There is it where it went. I was calling everybody for my ladder. Not because I wanted to get high. I just needed to get up to something. You guys, well, some of you caught on, right? Okay, so, you know, what does it cost us to follow Jesus? I think we really need to think about it. We need to look. We need to be willing to give up our things so that God can give it back to us. And we don't own it, but we're stewards of it. We give it to God, He gives it back to us. We're stewards. It all belongs to Him. And so what will it cost me to follow Jesus? You know, you go back to Matthew 19, 29. Or what is Matthew 19? What was it? Matthew 19, 20. And anyone who has less houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or farms for my name's sake. You know, I think when we count the cost, I think really there is no cost, maybe just initially. You know, like term life. You pay into your term life insurance, and it just goes, and it goes, and it goes. You never see it unless you die before it expires. Hopefully not. But then there's whole life where you put in, you put in, you put in, you put in, you put in. They invest it, and at a certain time, you get it back. It's like counting the cost. You put in, you put in, you put in, you put in, you put in. You serve God here, you serve God here, you give to God here. You do all this for God. And in the end, you get back. You know, you give up this, you give up that. And it says, your brother, houses, sister, father, mother, children, farms, for my name's sake, will receive many times as much. And will inherit eternal life. As it is already, all the time that I put in for God, I will inherit eternal life. Already on the time part, it pays dividends because I will have eternal life. So whatever time you put in, that's automatic now once you accept Jesus. So you may say, oh, it cost me 2 hours of sleep. No worry. You can get that time back because you're going to live forever. Right? Oh, I gave up my job. Boy, I gave up my house. I gave up my 10%. No worry. I gave up my farm. You get that back. So what does it cost me? Really, it might cost you something now. How many of you have retirement? Yeah, so it's costing you now, but later on, you get the reward. How many of you ever saved up for a vacation? You know, you saved up all your quarters. You every day at the end of the day, you put your change in the bottle. And finally, you get to go on a trip. Put all that coins on red number 7. No, just kidding. Just kidding. You know, when I go to Vegas, I go there to eat and sightsee. I say, I work too hard for this to put it on something. And I try gambling. Oh, it's so stressful. It is like, you know, $20, 2 minutes, gone. That's enough for me. I'd rather put my money on the food table. So what is it going to cost me? Think about it. Think about the things that You get to give up to serve God. Think about what you are giving up or you may give up. Think about how much more will you get when you get to heaven. And along with that, and eternal life. Wow. That's why when, you know, last year when I found out that I had that cancer, I thought I was one step in, man. I was like, wow, Lord. Pastor Aaron, get him. I was like one step in heaven's door. Thank God he cured me, my one step. Okay, Lord, you got some more work for me to do. Let's go do it. You got some more stuff for me to give up. Let's go do it. Best, hardest job I ever had. Best bunch of people I ever got to love and serve. You guys are truly amazing. Sometimes we get the ones that's hard to love come in. And that's great, you know. We need those hard to love people in our lives. And that's a true test of our love for Christ. Those are the ones that really smooth us out. I call those sandpaper people because they're rough. And what does sandpaper do to wood? They just smooth us out. And I love when those come because it's a true test of how we can love them. Oh, God's calling. Answer it. Answer it. God's calling. He got a word. No? So, count the cost. And I tell you what, if you really count the cost, it's not that much. But if you count and you figure out what it's going to cost me not to follow Christ, that's tragic. That's a greater cost. And you pay now on the front end, you reap on the back end. Not enjoy things and then pay on the back end. I want to see all of your faces in heaven with me. If you go before me, prepare the way. If I go before you, I'll be waiting for all of you. All right? So think about it. And don't forget, answer those questions from last week and this week. Okay? Because we got to go forward. No turning back. And we gotta understand the cost so that when the trials come, we don't bail and we don't say, I'm going back to Egypt. I went back to my old lifestyle because it was easy. Yes, living a sinful life is easy. It doesn't take no effort to sin. But living a Christian, godly life takes effort and, you know, we will be attacked. But the good thing about it is, if you look all around you, we got brothers and sisters, and we got a mighty God who will uphold us in his righteous right hand. Amen? Amen. Right, we're going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to say, hey, if anybody, either out there in Facebook or anybody in here in church, anybody needs to receive Jesus. I'll give you that chance right now with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody? No shame. Anybody? Anybody out there? Anybody? All right, Lord, thank you so much. I pray that we're here, everyone up here, at one time or another, prayed that prayer. And that I pray that we would pay the price to follow you. For it's not steep. And it is well, well worth it. So I pray for those here, those out on Facebook, wherever this message may reach, that they will understand the cost to follow you is not as great as the cost not to follow you. And that they would understand and pay it and live for you and understand it. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, you ready to stand and sing? Okay, let's take it away, worship team.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.